B-Pod Studios.
Our next guest is the great Larry Boa, live from spring training. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Larry!
What's up, Mike?
How you doing?
Doing all right.
All right, day off today, so what went on?
Well, I did take the day off. I needed a day off, but I know Harp went in and hit.
Uh-huh.
He was going in early, and I knew that he was going to go in and hit. I think a lot of the guys took the day off. We've been rolling at it pretty good here. There were some coaches there probably getting familiar with Harp. But for the most part, everybody's been working hard down here. And obviously, Matt's put together a pretty good roster. Not even counting with the Harp signing. The other guys have been very impressive to me. Segura, JT Realmuto, McCutcheon, Robertson. Those are good pickups. So you add Harper to the mix, and we got a real good lineup here, and I think there's some good things going to happen this year.
All right, I don't know how close you guys were to all the news. I assume you were like right in there, but this happens during a game that it's announced that he had signed. Where were you when you heard the news, and what was the reaction of everybody down there in the coaching staff?
Well, we had a split squad that day, so I stayed back with Cap and the rest of the guys, and these people behind us, the fans were telling us, hey, we signed Harper. You know, I didn't say, yeah, right. They go, no, we really did. You know, prior to that, we thought he was going to San Francisco. That day before, it sounded like that was almost a done deal. So we got the news. It was pretty tight-lipped around our clubhouse and everything, and we really didn't get the news. The fans behind us watching the game got it over the radio. I don't know what station they were listening to. I think the MLB station, and that's how we got it.
All right, so what was your reaction? What's the manager's reaction? What's going on?
Well, I know Cap was really excited. You know, he, of course, you know, as a manager, he said, well, we got to see if this is a rumor or whatever. And I said the same thing. I said, I told him. The one guy said, he said, when will he be here? And I was just going along with it. I said, probably in an hour. You know, I was just kidding. And then in my own mind, I'm saying, there's no way this thing came together that quick. And then obviously, the news started floating around that we did get him. So everybody was excited. There's no question about that. We didn't even know the length of the contract or the amount of money or anything like that at that particular point.
All right, so he shows up on the field, and reports are one of the guys he goes up to is you. He talks to you, Mike Charlie Manuel, and he respects the older players. Guy's been in the game for a really long time. Had you known him before?
No, I'm just playing, coaching against him. I remember an article that when he graduated or he was that high school phenom, he made a statement. He liked to play for guys like Larry Boa or Lou Piniella. He liked those type of managers. And I just happened to, when I was talking to him the other day, he says, when I brought your name up about wanting to play, for those type of managers, I said, I know, that was a compliment. I said, I appreciate it. And then we started talking. And he does respect the game. He knows the history of the game. He knows everybody that's played in the game. So I think that's one good thing moving forward. This kid's not just a kid that's has no idea what happened previously in the big leagues. He knows a lot about the history of the game of baseball. And for him to not have an opt-out clause or to sign for that period of time, I mean, you got to take your hat off to him because, he has no idea what the future holds here. The Phillies don't have any idea, but for him to sign that kind of contract with no opt-out clause, I think it tells you a little bit about he wants to stay in one place.
What did his first batting practice session look like? Charlie Hayes was throwing?
It looked really good. He didn't hit any. The first two or three rounds, he didn't hit any balls out. He's in a lot of line drives. To left center. Nice swing, quick bat. Then at the end, he started to loosen up a little bit and hit a few balls a long way. But he had a purpose up there. He could have probably put on a show right from the first pitch. But the wind was blowing out a little bit. He was hitting balls the other way. He's got a nice swing, Mike. He's going to really lengthen our lineup, man. I tell you, this is from top to bottom, this is going to be a pretty potent lineup to go through if you're the opposing pitcher.
So he was on it right away. He didn't he wasn't fouling balls to the top of the screen and
hitting
off the
end. No, not at all.
He was on it right
away. He's been hitting, believe me. He's been hitting a lot. I think what he wants to do now most of his hitting was indoors in cages down there, so he got a chance to go outside yesterday. And today, I'm sure he hit outside. And he just basically wants to get to know his teammates, get to know the surrounding a little bit. I'm sure starting tomorrow, he'll probably go down and face some live pitching. You know, our pitchers throw the sides down there, so he'll jump in there and look at that. So I guess Saturday is the day that he's supposed to. I think he's going to DH that day, so he's going to be ready as far as swinging the bat and everything. This guy's in good shape. Hey, he wants to win. You know, the conversation I had out with him in right center, says, you know, if I go for four and strike out four times and the guy behind me gets three hits and drives in three runs and we win, that's all I care about. So
yeah, he's saying the right things.
He really is.
To bond with the Philadelphia fan base, he's really saying the right things.
Yeah, he had a good press conference, and I gave him a little insight about the fans. I said, hey, you know, you're going to be in the spotlight. That's just the way it is. And it's not just Philly. You know, when you get the athlete that makes the most money in a sport, they're under the gun every night. And I think he realized that. But I think the one thing with him, he's been like that ever since he's 17 years old. So I don't think it's going to really have an impact on him to the point where he's going to go, oh, my God, what am I getting into? I think he knows exactly what he's getting into, and he knows there's going to be days where he doesn't do what he'd like to do. And I'm sure that there'll be a smattering of booze, but I told him, I said, if you do what you're supposed to do, man, you can do whatever you want in Philadelphia. They'll love you here.
Citizens Bank Park obviously is going to be a great hitter's park for him. What do you think he can do here, home run wise? Because you know I'm talking 45.
I would say 40 to 45 in our park. I think he's going to hit 40 to 45. You know, barring any injuries, he hits balls in left center that are going to fly out of our park. I'm telling you, this guy could hit the ball fields, go straight away center field. You hope he doesn't get into that pull mode in our park, because it's very friendly when you compare it to where he played 81 of his games last year. He's just such a strong, he's got strong hands, he's got a quick bat. He just, it's a perfect park for his swing. And like I said, barring any injuries, he should hit 40 to 40.
Yeah, his slugging percentage, by the way, is number one of like 81 players who have had 200 at-bats at Citizens Bank Park. So
he likes hitting there. I know that. He said that. He said, I really like hitting there.
All right, let's look at this lineup. I want to get in your head a little bit on where you would hit him. To me, he's the three guy, and then you piecemeal it from there. But I'm curious to know where you think he figures best in the lineup.
I have no idea what he's going to hit him. Somebody asked me that the other day. I said I'd hit him three. As the sabermetrics go, the number two hitter is supposed to be your man. Obviously, I think in our lineup, three would be perfect. And you could go a bunch of ways. You could go Segura and Hernandez. You could go Hernandez-Segura. You could go McCutcheon-Segura and hit Hernandez ninth and have the pitcher hit eight. So you got 9-1-2 where you got speed at the bottom. At least I'd say Hernandez, again, this is just my opinion. You know, Cesar doesn't really steal a lot of bases. So if you hit him ninth, you got him on base there for the guys at the top of the order. There's a lot of combinations you can go with. I would get Harp three. I mean, I think that would be perfect.
So you'd be okay with McCutcheon, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, and then Hernandez in eighth or ninth.
That would be good with me. And I wouldn't eliminate, again, this is just me talking. JT Realmuto is a good hitter. This is my, I wouldn't mind hitting Realmuto four, Hoskins five. You know, Reese last year had a lot of, he's either red hot or he was ice cold. So, but those are just things you can do. He's got a lot of options here. I'm telling you, you got a guy like Franco hitting down the bottom or Herrera. You got a strong lineup. You could hit Reese fourth. You could hit Harper second if you wanted. You can hit Realmuto third and Hoskins four. It's a lineup where you can really move it around a little bit. And I think guys like McCutcheon, who's hit all over the place, Segura's hit all over the place, I don't think they really mind where they hit in the lineup.
Yeah, we'll see how Gabe handles that. Charlie Manuel would set a lineup and go out and rake. He put guys in the same spot. You know how he would handle this
Charlie
whole thing.
He says it's going to be fun to watch this offense. He says, I think they're going to score a lot of runs, which I do too. I think they're going to score a lot of runs.
Yeah, I was just going to get into that. We're talking to Larry Brower. Larry, in 08, this was, primarily they were the offensive team that won, and the starting pitching was okay. Hamels had a great year. Moyer had a nice year. But it was pretty much you outscored teams, and you rallied no matter if you were behind or not. They had rallies to win games, and then the bullpen locked it down. Do you see similarities with these two teams?
Yeah, I do. I see a lot of similarities. I think we might have better arms. Now, when I say better arms in that rotation, obviously potential comes into play. And, you know, you don't win games on potential. Pavetta to me is getting better. I saw Arrieta throw now three times and he threw yesterday. I saw him throw three times in simulated games. I think he's going to have a monster year. I think last year he tried to play catch-up. He came in late. And, you know, anytime you play catch-up in your pitcher, things don't work out. But he looks like he is the Arrieta of old. He's got nasty sinker going. He's got good velocity going. He might be on a mission here because, obviously, he wasn't too happy with his year last year. Nola's been lights out on his sides and everything. But you got Pavetta and Velasquez and Eflin. I mean, you got five guys. Eichhoff looks like he's going to be okay, but obviously there's going to be a question mark there. So we'll see how that plays out. We have some good pitchers in AAA. Our bullpen's a good. That's going to be a strength for us. Like I said, I don't see a lot of weaknesses. The only thing is injuries to the starting rotation. If you look back last year, nobody got hurt. They shut Velasquez down at the end because of innings. But nobody really went on the DL and said, oh, you know, my arms bother me, my elbows bother me. If I can stay away from injuries, I think this is going to be a fun summer.
Yeah, Arrieta did look good. I watched that game yesterday. He was pretty
nasty.
Filthy. Yeah, yep. He was. I know you didn't go on that 2.5-hour trip, did you?
No, come on, Mike. I made enough of those trips. I had to stay back with the guys that didn't go and make sure they got their work in.
Yeah, I figured you weren't on that trip. All right, so here's the deal. We're coming down Wednesday night, and Thursday and Friday we'll be broadcasting down there. Okay. I don't know what you're doing Friday because they have an away game. I don't know if you're going on that. Are you hanging around?
Usually, I've been allergic to those buses.
Yeah, all right. So that's good. So, like, here's one of my bucket list things. I want to hit field some Larry Bow fungos. You think we can pull that off on the little infield you guys have over there?
Yeah, we should because last year it was either last year or year before Salisbury took some ground balls.
All right. Well,
and, like, believe it or not, he held his own, Mike.
Really? I will dust his ass, well, by the way, if you hit me fungos.
If we can set it up, I'll be there to hit you some ground balls. And we'll just see. I know you played a little bit.
Yeah, I'm bringing the mitt and the spikes, and I'll be ready to roll.
Okay, there's not going to be no easy two hoppers.
I know. You're going to hit balls in my right. You want to see my backhand? I know. I got it.
I want to see some range. I want to see a little range. I want to see the arm action. I want to see velocity on the throws.
As long as I get to loosen up with you, I'm good on the throws.
We're good. All
right. All right. Sounds good. It's either that or we're playing golf. One or the other.
I think you ought to get on the baseball field. You can play golf anytime.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.